This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Things we'll get you caught up on coming up, but the NFL makes it official as Roger Goodell sends out memos to all teams saying they will hold virtually a fully virtual draft April 23rd to the 25th, which means they won't be at their facilities, but it also means, Mike, that coaches and GMs will be at their own homes conducting the draft.
Yeah, I guess the NFL, as we said, and if you missed the beginning of the show, how you doing? Carl and I were saying that you would think, especially NFL teams have got a budget. We just did it ourselves at our own office to do like a kind of thorough cleaning where you could have a cootie-free environment, for lack of a better word, to have your people come in. Carl, your war room might be 15 rooms, right, with each guy in his own room, yeah. You know, but that's not what they're going to do. And again, I think they're trying to set the tone for the rest of the country that the social distancing is going to continue through April, and they're going to adhere to those protocols. So are Roger Goodell sitting by his fire, in a sweater announcing the picks? I'm not sure. But yeah, everybody's going to have to do it on remote, which for some general managers, as Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network said, it might be a bit more difficult, or at least there's more parts involved now, Carl, if you're trying to maybe pull a trade in real time.
So that's news, obviously, today. We have PGA news as well as we find out what the Masters, at least what date they're targeting, November 9th through the 15th. It doesn't sound right. It even sounds a little bit awkward to say the Masters. But listen, if you told me we could get three of the four majors in this year with all that's already happened, would you believe me? I mean, the way things are going, Mike, I didn't think we were going to get any potential. And I still don't know, but I didn't think we'd get to this point where we'd actually have dates in front of us that say, hey, this is what we're projecting.
Hey, I mean, the idea of not having a Masters, it's, as we said, Carl, it's the reality we're dealing with. We may not get an NBA season in. It might get to a point where the NBA says, there's no way to logistically do this and then be able to fire up a shorter season for next year. We don't know. As we said, we talked to Chris Mannix earlier. We're all just kind of spitballing it, trying to find a crystal ball to look into. But at least if you're looking for positives, there's a date. So they feel they do it in November. How crazy, though, the idea of, going out to, if it's going to be open to the public, we don't even know if that would be the case, but not having the flowers in bloom, leaves maybe turning colors out there or falling off the trees out at the Masters, but at least we get it in.
All right, guys, 404-741-0929 as we come your way live from the Mobile Kia Studios. That is our Salomon Brothers Diamond text line. Follow us across all social media platforms as we brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Radio.com is where you need to go, and that is downloading the app and having us on all of your devices. Teach your smart speakers to listen to us, Dukes and Bell. Listen to Dukes and Bell. Listen to 929 The Game so that you can listen at any place. Anywhere. With that, let's get to the Falcon Report, Mike. And as always, Falcon Report is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, use that GPS technology and the pizza tracker to always know where your pie is at all times. Right now, a great deal from Domino's amongst many when you go online. For this one, it's two-topping pizza for $5.99, minimum of two on that order. Get all the details at Domino's.com.
All right, I just want to run down this real quick with you guys because as we count down to the draft, April 23rd, and we just said we knew it was going to happen. We didn't know exactly where the team would be drafting and all of that, but we know this is going to take place. The one thing we've got to figure out, and I'm talking about our Falcons, and Thomas Dimitroff set to join the midday show tomorrow with Andy and Randy. We're trying to chase down Dan Quinn, hopefully, and some other guys as well here between now and Friday, so make sure you're tuned in each and every day. We got to figure out, Mike, what's the best fit for what we do? Now, if you go back to 16, the draft in which we hit it out of the park, we drafted under the premise of what Dan Quinn came in and said we were going to be. And we laughed and we joked, and then we went to a Super Bowl. And he came in and said we were going to be fast
and physical.
That's right. And we went out and got fast and a guy named Debo. And we got fast and a guy named Devondre. And we got fast and a guy named Keanu Neal. All of them were physical as well. They fit to what we did. And if you look at the drafts in 17 and 18, and not across the board, but just, you know, Tack's still a question mark. But even Duke Riley, Mike, who now we traded away, you know, a few years later, the Sean Harlows of the world. This was 17. We did get a fifth-round pick out of DeMonte KZ, who's turned out to be a player. But the whole best fit for what you do hasn't worked for us the last few years because I think we've gone away from it. The Calvin Ridley move made sense. He's fast. He's been great for what we're trying to do, and he increased the, you know, the productivity of our offense. They drafted a guy like Isaiah Oliver because of it. But even last year, think about this, guys. We went size, right? We went two big, brute offensive linemen that we wanted to help protect Matt Ryan, and that was a little bit different shift, even though we knew we needed it. But it wasn't the best fit for what we do, which is what Dan Quinn is trying to do defensively and what Raheem Morris is trying to do. Here's the point I'm getting to. Last year, guys, you know, I don't know what John Kaminsky is, Mike. I don't know what Quadre Allison is. You know, Jordan Miller, the cornerback we drafted. But when you think about fast and physical, and if that's what the thing is going to be, if that's what we're going to be, then you got to get the best players that fit what you do. And you've been doing all these mock drafts. Are there guys that jump out at you that fit that better than others, even though they may not be projected as high?
Right. Now, guys, we've always talked about let's go with what we know we can do, right? Now, last year we totally did not expect them to make that commitment to offensive line because, remember, if you take it back, we spent all that money on those free agents. We invested in Carpenter and Brown. We kept Sombrello at the time. It's like, wow, we didn't really expect them. We figured, okay, well, they've, for better or worse, they've addressed offensive line. They're not going to be players in the draft. And they go commit to not just one but two. And maybe McGarry was a mistake to trade up four back in the first round. Only time will tell. But if you look at this year's draft, let's go with what we know we can do. What is one thing Dimitroff and company always do? They always find good skill position players. By that, I mean tight ends, running backs, wide receivers. They always do that really well in the third and fourth. Austin Hooper, was you just mentioned that 16 class. We don't even talk about him. He later became a starter when Jacob Tammy went down. But you got Austin Hooper was part of that draft. You got Coleman and Freeman were guys that were mid-round running back picks. So I don't see why you got to commit to a running back in the second round. I'd rather go defensive tackle, corner, before or after, or linebacker in the first and second round. If Kinlaw is gone, if Henderson's gone, I'll go get Kenneth Murray. Then you got your weak side linebacker and your set. There's guys like Damon Arnett from Ohio State. There's all sorts of corners that would be there, Carl. Second tier, not C.J. Henderson's level, but would be there in the second round. Or you can make that commitment to offensive line, unless you really think, you mentioned Sean Harlow, technically he's still one of those guys that's going to be battling for that job at left guard. But the point I'm getting to is you can get those two starters out of maybe the three you need, going 1 and 2 and committing to defense the way we did in 16.
What do we have to figure out? We got to figure out what's the best fit for what we do. Here's the problem. What did we do last year? What's the identity of this football team? And when you start talking about, well, we thought it was offense with all of these weapons, well, maybe it still is, but we just haven't been as productive as we've needed to be. But defensively, what is it that you're trying to be? And Mike, that is the one thing Dan Quinn got right. When he got here, he said, you know what, we're going to do this. And what's that? We're going to be fast and physical. Okay, ha, ha, ha. Well, then you go out and you draft those kinds of players, and they fit to what you do. You can't go get guys and make them be something that doesn't fit what you do. And I'll give you an example of this. Deidre Sanaat. What is Deidre Sanaat? He was an undersized defensive tackle who really hasn't panned out. We're 2 years into this tenure now with Deidre Sanaat, Mike. I don't know what Deidre Sanaat is.
He's a great story. No, he battled a lot of adversity just to get to where he's at. But this dude is not even dressing for games. I mean, there's games where he's not even in uniform. I mean, that's no joke. So, I mean, that's one where, that's a guy that, first off, he's almost like a poor man's version of Grady. That's why so many people are excited about a guy like Javon Kinlaw, where you really get that, you know, you want to talk, we're not a 3-4 team, but the guy, the big space-grabbing defensive tackle, the traditional really big DT that we haven't had since, you know, back in the day with like Rod Coleman. Or like, remember Grady Jackson? I mean, and this guy's 10 times more athletic, but that's why I think, Carl, you want to go commit, because Deidre Sanaat didn't pan out as part of your defensive line.
But he didn't pan out, Mike, because in 18, when you went Ridley and Isaiah Oliver, and we were screaming we need a defensive tackle, well, you just went and got a defensive tackle. You didn't go get a guy that fit what you do. That's what the Falcons have to figure out. And if they figure that out and they've got a plan going into, you know, April 23rd, because, again, first night, you screw that up, we're in trouble anyway because we can't screw up the first-round pick. But it's how you view this. And I think everybody always talks about best player, which we'll have that discussion down the road. But as a team, are you getting guys that fit what you do? And I bring him up because I think that's a prime example. Yeah, we got a defensive tackle. We fit, you know, we needed one. Yeah, mm-hmm. But can he play? Does he do it? What does he do in your system? And this guy hasn't done jack.
But this goes back to, and again, if you think mock drafts are just, you know, mental blank, blank, okay, it's fun to kind of see which way other teams will go and what your options are going to be. If you go back to the 18 draft, Carl, remember we were saying, wow, there were some really good defensive tackles. We had Calvin Ridley. We couldn't pass him up. He was too good there to leave. And then the same thing happened in the second round, and that's where the defensive tackles that were money were that we didn't get because we had to go get Isaiah Oliver. Yep. We went and get Isaiah Oliver because, hey, this guy's got the, you know, he's got the alligator arms. He's got everything that Dan Quinn's looking for those old Seahawks type defensive backs. But that's where, again, you went for one thing, and Oliver looks like he's going to be pretty good, but that's where the defensive tackles were, and you didn't get him. So you go in the third, and you get Deidre Sinat, and he's going to be out of the league in a couple of days.
So if you want to be what you were, and I don't know if that's the point. You know, we'll have to ask Dan Quinn at some point, do you want to be what you were? And what I mean by that is, do you still go by this mantra of that's what our defense is going to be, and it's going to be fast and physical? Then you go draft speed. You know what you do, Mike? You go get Isaiah Simmons. You go get speed that can be a difference maker and a sideline-to-sideline guy and say, you know what, that's what we're going to be. But I think we've lost our way a little bit with that in perspective to the draft and right. Just feeling needs. Oh, we need a D-tackle. Okay, but does he fit what you do? Oh, well we need a corner. Does he fit what you want to do? And that's where I think this draft has to be different if we're going to hit like we did in 16. Because in 16, that was the difference. He went and got guys that fit exactly what he wanted to do and whoop, plug and play.
Instant impact. You're right about that. And by the way, Carl, if you just guys are tuning in, we started talking about Todd Gurley and the official announcement. I reached out to D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC and I asked him, hey, so Gurley passes physical. He goes, yeah, they weren't going to announce until he was cleared. And he was he's listening to our conversation, Carl. He says, without upgrades on the offensive line, Gurley move is moot. He goes, Jim Brown couldn't run behind this crew. And that's why I keep coming back to the left guard position, which I hope we commit to.
So D-Led is not sold at all on what he thinks what this O-line is going to be.
He doesn't believe in McGarry. I still think with McGarry with Lindstrom there for a full, you know, 17-game season, he's going to be better because it was always musical chairs. And Schweitzer kept getting – by the way, Schweitzer was part of that draft class we talked about. They got him in that 16 class. And he actually, for all the maligning we made of Schweitzer, he was actually the guy that they kind of leaned on. But, D-Led is not an – like, we're in agreement. We don't believe that they've got the line set. And without being able to protect Matt Ryan and run the football, Todd Gurley on 1.5 good knees ain't going to have a great year. That's why they've got to find somebody at left guard.
All right. You know what? You may be right on this. I don't think they're going to go that route.
I say second round. You can find a good offensive tackle / guard in the second round. And then once you get past that, then it's like now you're in Sean Harlow territory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I do think that we've got to start looking at a replacement for Alex Mack. There's no doubt. Because
and that's
you don't have that guy.
And there's centers right there. You got a bunch of guys. Wisconsin, you got, we talked about Cushenberry from LSU. You got guys who could play guard for a year or two and then move over to center.
All right, man, what do you guys think? 404-741-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. And I told you guys, we're going to be gearing up for the draft. It's the biggest thing that changes your football team outside of free agency. Well, free agency's come and gone. Now you've got a chance to not only get younger, but more importantly, give yourself some real flexibility. If we hit, Mike, it's the reason why teams stay good. You're able to not have to pay a bunch of guys, particularly three starters, for the next 3 or 4 years. Meanwhile, your vets continue to get better and your team is still on the cusp of getting to a Super Bowl. But you got to hit. Hey, man, we got our strong arm story of the day coming up. Lots going on in the world of sports, including what is going on with the PGA and how much of it are you believing with these dates. We'll get into it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
So we have some dates. We've got dates that we can now mark down, at least put in our phones and go, all right, it's something we can look forward to. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our strong arm story of the day because we all wondered with a postponed Masters when it might take place. But, Mike, I want to ask you this question. Because President Trump, over the weekend, news came out, he met with all of the major sports leagues, had a big conference call, I think it was on Saturday, and then he came out and said, yeah, you know, I can tell you we're going to have football, I don't know when. Here's my question, because I love that the Masters now has a date, November 5th or 9th through the 15th. I love that we look like we're going to have the PGA Championship in August and the U.S. Open in September and the Ryder Cup. But, Mike, how do we get back to any of this without having major testing in place across the board, whether you say you're not going to have fans or not? And I got to tell you something. I know everybody's ranting and raving about WrestleMania and all this stuff, and they did a great job with no fans. Guys, it just wasn't the same, okay? Whether you're a wrestling fan or not, it was like a prelude to what sports could potentially be right. While we're watching and having no fans there. Mike, it's just not the same. So how do we get there with no major testing in place?
Yeah, it's funny because you and I were joking around about this. I mean, you know, half kidding, but, you know, why not CGI a crowd in, you know, and play some background crowd noise, you know, just to kind of – because you're right. There's just – without that ambience, you know, it just doesn't – it just – the experience just doesn't sound right. And I didn't watch WrestleMania, but I'm sure they put on a great show. But the NFL in an empty stadium, that's going to be something that's – you know, it could be a reality, Carl, as we've said all during the week. And we're not trying to, you know, sell you a bunch of nonsense. We try to keep it real. We're reading the same websites, seeing the same newscasts you guys are. But as Carl laid out, unless you can get tests all the players, put them somewhere in lockdown where they're not interacting with other people, and all the other 30, you know, 31 teams can do that, and the support staff and the coaches and the officials, and get them out there in an environment where you can do that, whether it's your home stadium or in some neutral site. You know, we don't know. As we said, nobody's got – if anybody could definitively say, yes, Carl, we will have the Masters that week in November, and we will have baseball, we don't know. We're all hoping, just like we talked about with Dabo Swinney. We want to be as positive as possible, but nobody has enough information to hedge your bets on that, as saying that's a definite.
Yeah, so I bring that up only to say these dates, even though they give us a glimmer of hope and you're like, okay, we have something we can hang our hat on, it's still just that. Because until those things are in place, you can't have a gallery. You can't have 50, 60, 70,000 people in a ballpark. You can't have 80,000 people at Mercedes-Benz. I mean, that's just where it is. And so I love the fact that these dates came out today. And again, I think they've talked to all the people they need to talk to, Mike. But more than anything, you get it on the calendar and you say, we are going to commit to this. And this is kind of what we've wanted to hear from some of our other sports. The NBA or the NHL or Major League Baseball, but they haven't done it. Golf has now finally done it and said, here's what's going to happen. These are the dates. Now, whether we get to that point, I don't know, because to me, there's still too much up in the air right now.
Right. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, I mean, I don't even know when we're going to start the NFL season. We all like to think we're going to be up there at Flag. I mean, like, first off, in August, will we be able to be hanging out up there with other fans and Falcon fans at Flowery Branch? No. We don't know. I mean, I you and I don't know. I'm just glad we got the draft just as a distraction, Carl. I mean, I don't know. We might not play football till November, but I am glad we are going to go with this virtual, by the way, and the NFL have signed off on this, totally virtual draft. So no teams in their facilities, nobody at the draft location, all of it done in like this in a virtual setting online.
Now, I know some football fans are like, how does that affect this draft? Because we're so used to seeing all this stuff real time and you know, the graphics and all of that. And I don't know how, again, NFL is going to approach that as far as, and even how can you do that, Mike? Because you can't be everywhere. And when you've got everybody in one room, it's easier. Are you going to be having cameras in every general manager's house and seeing how they go through this process and being able to have access and talk to them? I just don't know how that's going to play out. So this is going to feel not only differently, but it's actually going to look very different from what we're used to. And that doesn't mean the results aren't going to be the same. I still think at the end of the day, we'll wake up Saturday or Sunday and go, all right, let's look at these Falcon, you know, drafts and see how these guys fit into what we're trying to do.
Yeah, one of the things that we talked about is we were joking around about, imagine now with the first pick, the Cincinnati Bengals select buffering. The screen comes up from Cincinnati, from their war room, and it's like the blue circle just turning in perpetuity. No, I mean, it's funny. Daniel Jeremiah was tweeting, our buddy who's a former scout, works for NFL Network and does a good job with, you know, mock drafts and stuff. He was saying that, at least talking to some of the personnel people in the NFL, it says it does, Carl, throw a bit of a monkey with the wrench into trades because now there's more, you know, in all seriousness, we've only seen that happen once or twice. Wasn't it years ago where the Vikings didn't get the pick in time? But, I mean, you've got to be able to, you know, try to field all the offers, and who knows? But that's you're adding a level. Right now you're adding a new level of uncertainty. Your IT guy better have his stuff together on this one.
So what do you guys think? How are you feeling? How confident are you feeling now that these dates are on the calendar? Because that's where we're at. And, Mike, once we get Major League Baseball on the calendar, and you know, we've thrown out that date July 4th. Okay. Once we get the NBA back on the calendar, meaning, hey, we're set to start games August 25th. That's when I think we're going to start to see real optimism about coming out of this. And the reason why we talk about this, guys, again, is because this is where we're living right now. But I also think there's a lot of false hope, Mike. And, you know, that stems from, again, that wanting to believe that what's not true is true. What's true is true. You know what's true? We're all at home. What's true right now is you still got people who are getting ill around the world, and more importantly, right here in America and right here in Atlanta. What's true is our medical system's being taxed right now. That's true. What's not true is that these dates are real, and that's the problem I think we're all having and the reality we're coming to, even though we're hoping and crossing our fingers and saying prayers that this is actually going to play out this way.
And by the way, Carl, I just looked it up online. The last time a team didn't get its pick, in case you're wondering about snafus on a virtual draft, the 2011 Baltimore Ravens, the 26th pick. They were trying to make a trade. They were working the phones. Deadline came and went, and they eventually moved back, and they picked the 27. And I mentioned the Vikings. Happened to them back in the day in 2003. They claimed they turned their card in with 32 seconds left, but the league said they couldn't confirm it. So it actually, you know, as you're saying, with all the work and all the efforts in the war room, sometimes even, you know, people are fallible, and these guys have screwed it up. Now you throw in this element of everybody's on remote. It will make it even more interesting to watch, I suppose.
I think so. I mean, there is a drama to it that of the unknown, because we've never done it like this before. But I also think there is, you know, there's going to be somebody, and I hope it's not our guys, but there's going to be somebody that screws this up for their teams, and you know, maybe takes a little bit too much time and goes beyond a lot of time, and we're going to get a chance to see that live in person, which is going to kind of be funny, but I think just because of the nature of this particular draft, that's more prone to happen.
Yeah, man, and by the way, I think we had this in Guy Talk earlier while we're talking about all the different scenarios that are going down. The good news is, and there was a poll that came out from Huffington Post where at least 80% of America's on board with like the way the states like Georgia have stepped up. Hey, shelter in place, if you're going to go get some food or you want to exercise, that's one thing, but for the most part, everyone's playing ball, right? And there's always going to be some you know, outliers. No.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And I get it. Like, we said it all day last week. We talked about it on Friday. We're a society which has more freedom of movement and more freedom of than any other country in the world. That's what we're built on. So I think even now people are realizing the seriousness of where this is. Whether you agree with it or not, everybody's on the same, I think, is on the same page. So let's hope that all this works out. I mean, but to sit here, Carl, and say, like, hey, we're going to have an NBA Finals, we don't know that.
Nope.
We don't know when the NFL season is going to start. We don't know when baseball season is going to start.
And that's why I think today is interesting, because the PGA Tour was willing to put dates out, physical dates, to say this is when we're going to try to get this in. Now, this is a long way. I mean, you're talking about the Masters in November.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a long way from now. I mean, we're worried about next Tuesday, let alone
right.
November 9th. But I will say that the goal to do that is encouraging, simply because other leagues are not. And that is what we're looking for. When we start to get multiple things like that going down, that's when I'm going to feel like we're maybe close to coming out of this. And that's when you're going to feel like, okay, the leagues may know a little bit more than we do, and therefore they're willing to put these dates out there and let people start making plans, and they're making plans to bring sports back to us. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's our strong arm story of the day as we talk about the PGA Tour and, more importantly, the NFL, I think, at this point, going ahead with their draft and how that's going to be conducted. But these are all things like that, just on the fly, Mike, that they're trying to adjust to. You know, nobody last month would have said, hey, by the way, 45 days from now, you guys, you do realize that there won't be any draft, or it won't be like you normally see it. And by the way, the PGA Tour will be canceled. And you just go down the list of things.
Right.
And nobody would have suspected it. So this is all on the fly. Everybody's trying to figure it out. But I like the fact that at least now I've written it down, because I want to believe that November 9th, I'm going to be watching some golf.
And, you know, for instance, you know, I mentioned I'm a big race fan. We talk about it all the time. The Indy 500 is supposed to be August 23rd, which, to be quite honest, that seems even optimistic by everything else, right, we talked about, right? August 23rd, we'll be out of the woods by then. That's traditionally the Memorial Day. And one last nugget, nothing to do with the scheduling stuff we've talked about, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up. We didn't get to it in the Falcon Report. A couple of guys, Carl, have hit us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and Brandon hits us up on Twitter, and he says, hey, guys, appreciate listening to the show. He goes, did y'all notice the Falcons' Twitter changed their logo in the last hour?
Did they?
Did you notice? Well, no. For what? No, I just, when I get stories from the Falcons, or I have to admit, I don't actually look at the logo, but apparently, and I'm punching up at Falcons right now, the Falcons logo is the old Dirty Bird, the yes, old school logo right now, when you look in the little circle over the, you know, your avatar.
I see it. It sure is. So, and I had on a shirt last week that I got a bunch of those old school, because I like the old school logo. I like
the
that
way,
logo.
I would love to see. No, I don't think in a million years we're going to do that. I think someone's having fun with us, but that is just for those. Everybody is waiting and waiting to see what this new logo is going to look like. I don't think we're going backwards. But I hope. Right. I wish we would.
All right. So here's the other thing. Tonight they're playing the 98 championship game on the website. That's why they've changed the logo.
Maybe that's probably why. And by the way, Chuck Smith was tweeting about that. Our buddy Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
It's going to be on YouTube. Yeah, Monday night, YouTube. Right. You can follow along on Twitter, 98 NFC Championship game against the Vikings, and that is the helmet, obviously, that team wore in the logo.
All man, right. Carl, watch that game. No false starts. Watch how few penalties the Falcons had in that game. And watch the Vikings totally poop the bed with a couple of timeouts and decent field position before the overtime. To be on the sideline for the last, that's still one of my great Atlanta sports memories. Because, you know, it was like my first year in Atlanta. I thought, wow, I guess we go to the Super Bowl every year here in Atlanta. No.
Doesn't happen that way.
It is
a great memory. Yeah, I see Chuck tweeted out his ring from the NFC Championship game.
Right.
Sweet. Hey, man, we got more guy talk on the way.
Yeah, man. We got a couple of stories to get to, including Carl, a guy who's one of the richest people in the world, and he's getting up there, and he just knocked up his girlfriend.
Oh.
Is that a tease or is that a tease?
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man. Little Guy Talk Part 2 brought to you by our buddies at Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscles and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. By the way, speaking of being a little banged up, Carl, I hope I'm sounding okay to you today. My right side of my face, I feel like a chipmunk.
What's going on?
I did something to something. I got either a crown is busted or one of my bridges is loose. You know me, man. I played rugby and I played hockey way back when, so I got a lot of chiclets that have been adjusted over the years. So last night I woke up like, hamana, hamana, hamana. So they're going to get me squeezed in tomorrow, but I've been on a tremendous pain medication regimen throughout the afternoon. Hopefully I'm making sense.
All right, man. Well, you know what? I hope you feel better, because I know that sucks, especially during this time period where,
right?
You know, I know a lot of dentists have closed down or at least limited their business, so I hope you get that squared away, but I hope you feel better.
Yeah, man. I told you, I got my doctor over here in Midtown. He's kind of like Phil Dunphy from Modern Family. He looks just like him and acts just like him. So one time years ago when I'm, you know, checking out regular cleaning and get your appointment card for the following, you know, 6 months. And I go, well, I'll see Phil Dunphy in 6 months. The nurses all start laughing. Oh, my God, he is Phil Dunphy. But anyway, if you do have dental offices are supposed to be seeing you if you have an emergency. And I definitely do. Hey, man, Bernie Ecclestone. Do you know who he is, Carl? Bernie Ecclestone?
The name sounds familiar.
For years, he was one of the richest guys in the United Kingdom. The movie Rush, the movie about Formula One with Helmsworth that played James Hunt and Niki Lauda. Remember that movie that came out a couple years ago?
Yeah,
well, the final race of that year, back in 1976, he put together the TV package, which then got ultimately a Formula One TV deal, and eventually became the honcho who rules Formula One. And he made billions off of that, and he's the guy that sold, or kind of was forced to sell, Formula One to Liberty Media. Of course, the same guys who own the Braves. Reason I bring up Bernie Ecclestone, his fourth child will be born this summer. That news came out. Jim Rome had the story the other day. I didn't want to do it the same day that Rome had it, so I figured I'd save it for today. Problem is, Carl, Ecclestone's going to turn 90 in October.
Wow. Still getting it in, huh?
Oh, more ways than one. And by the way, not even remotely close to like Larry King, where he's at least within like 30 years of the girl that he's dating, or Rupert Murdoch. In this case, Ecclestone, he's 89, and his baby's mama is 29.
Oh, stop it.
I don't see there's any difference between 89 and 29, Ecclestone told an English media outlet.
Gold digger.
Ecclestone and this lovely lady were married in 2012. And
I bet they were.
Anyway, this is a dude that, as I said, saw the Formula One growth. He's one of the richest cats for years. Now, I think he's only down to $3 billion now. But, yeah, what do you make of that age difference?
Did you just say down only to $3
billion? Yes, $3 billion.
All right, let me ask you this.
What 60 years older than his wife.
Yeah, what does a 29-year-old woman – could any 29-year-old woman out there right now, could you find an 89?
He'll be 90 in October.
Could you find an 89-year-old man attractive if he had no money? Zero. Could you find him attractive? Because if you're going to say yes, I'm going to call you a liar. Now, if I told you I had $3 billion, well, I might change your opinion. This is ridiculous. 90 years old, and he's about to have another child?
Yes. Oh. His lovely wife, Fabiana. I saw this story last week, and I mentioned Jim Rome had it in one of his little CBS Sports Minutes. Now his wife, by the way, I said 29. She's 44 now. Check that, 44.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that makes it a little bit better. I'm sorry. Yeah, because I was going to say, there's not a 29-year-old woman that would go, I want that 89-year-old dude.
As I said, I'm on medication. When Bernie said, there's no difference between being 89 and 29. In other words, if you're 29, be fathering a child. Well, regardless, 89 and 44, that still beats all those other guys I told you about, whether it's Rupert Murdoch or the average age of the age difference between Larry King and any of his seven wives. But, yeah, I mean, so you're 89. So you're going to be around at, 106 for your kid's high school graduation?
I don't know what kind of workout regimen he's on, but he better get going.
I mean, unless you're going to have, the virtual reality Bernie talking to the kid. I mean, I saw that story and I was like, holy shnikes. All right, we'll keep it in England and we'll keep it in the sex department. Man City soccer player named Kyle Walker, he did a public service announcement. You've heard a lot of, Major League Baseball players, football players, everybody urging folks to stay home. Well, he did one as well. And Man City, one of the premier teams over there, they won multiple championships. He cut a public service announcement urging fellow Englishmen and women to stay home to slow the spread of the coronavirus. And guess what he did? The day he was doing the public service announcement, he called a couple of quote they called them sex workers. We would just call them prostitutes over, and he had himself a little party at his house.
He called two over?
Two. Yeah, man, invited two workers, sex workers, over to his apartment for a get-together on Tuesday night. And then once, of course, because in England nobody can keep their mouths shut and the tabloids get all over this stuff, it went public and he's been getting killed, getting criticized, obviously, from fans. And he ultimately made an apology about this one. But while you're supposed to be social distancing, he was doing the direct opposite.
Well, Mike, we all get lonely. I mean, here's the deal. This is the biggest part that we're really realizing right now. I put it out there today. Even introverts are like, can somebody come over? Everybody's freaking out about not being able to have people or see people on a daily basis. It's not even that you want to do the nasty. It's the fact that you just are not interacting with people. And so, I'm surprised we're not hearing about more of this kind of stuff. I really am.
By the way, that's a good use of the Hollywood shuffle right there.
Thank you, sir.
I likes doing the nasty.
Nasty.
No, I mean, but it's one thing though, Carl. I mean, if you're going to do the public service announcement about, hey, laying low and not interacting. By the way, I did tell you we've got a few friends of ours, Carl and I both, that are single, and apparently Tinder use has not dropped because of the coronavirus fears.
Well, I guess they're dealing with the same folk. I don't know if I'd be dealing with new people.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're dealing with the same people, I guess it's all good.
I'm not sure how that works. You bring, our buddy Don, he brings a girl over to his place. He's got ultraviolet light as she steps into the foyer. Hold on, will you stand here for a second?
I'm just saying, would you be dealing with new people? Would you be dealing with new people?
Yes, let me get your blood work and I'll just hang out over here. But I guess if you, you know what, as you said, people do get lonely. Hey man, we talked earlier about the changing, I guess, attitude about a lot of folks around the country. Because if you had said, as Carl mentioned about a month ago, and we started the show talking about all these new phrases, social distancing, all the things which we didn't even know what they were, nearly 80% of Americans think it's the right thing for the states to be doing, as we are here in Georgia. Some states in the South are a little bit later than others in limiting people's movement and advising the stay-at-home orders. 79% of Americans, according to a poll from Huffington Post and YouGov, saying that they think it's the right thing to do. And they also went on, Carl, and I mentioned this earlier, but I thought the guys listening later would dig this. Even if restrictions were eased by mid-April, 61% of the people that responded said they would still stay at home when possible. Only 19% said they would dive right back into normal life.
That sounds about right. I think there's going to be a wave of people who go, okay, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I got to get back to doing some things that I want to do. And they're going to jump right in. And then I think there'll be a wave of people, Mike, that are just going to be like, I'll chill and see how this plays out for the next few weeks. Because there is going to be some apprehension about jumping back in for some people. I do agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've, you know, I think that once we do get the all clear, I think whenever we do get back to sports, people are going to be coming back in droves. There's going to be such – I think we're going to see – remember, think about regular season games. We talk about how meaningless, you know, basketball season's too long, baseball, hockey. I can't imagine games where you're not going to have a sold-out house because people have been dying for this action, man. Meanwhile, got birthdays for you today, brother. Today is the 6th of April. Got a bunch. Paul Rudd, and he was on social media. Paul Rudd in Anchorman, other movies and stuff. He turns 51 today. Michael Rooker. You know who Michael Rooker is, Carl?
Michael Rooker. No, that name sounds familiar as well, but I'm not sure.
How about Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, yeah.
Merle in Walking Dead. And for Squidbilly, Rowdy Burns in Days of Thunder. Yeah, Michael Rooker. And I've met him a few times here in Atlanta when he was filming The Walking Dead. Great guy. He's 65, big racing fan. Todd Chrisley. Couldn't stand this guy. This is everything that's wrong with reality TV, Carl. Chrisley knows best. That doofus turns 51 today from Metro Atlanta. Billy D. Williams turns 83 today.
Oh, Billy D. Yeah, and he was in the last Star Wars. They brought him back. It was great.
Right, and one of the coolest dudes, just effortless, right? That's what it's supposed to be about, man. Not trying too hard. He's got it. John Ratzenberger. Do you know who John Ratzenberger is?
No. Who's John Ratzenberger?
Cliff Clavin on Cheers. Cliff the Mailman. Also, the voice of Ham, the piggy bank in the Toy Story movies. John Ratzenberger turned 73 today. And for movie guys like Carl and I, Barry Levinson, the director of Diner, The Natural, Good Morning Vietnam, and he won the Oscar for Rain Man. He's director of Rain Man. He's turned 77 today.
Wow. Time flies, man. I didn't think he was that old. I thought he was in his late 50s, early 60s.
He's got the car, too, by the way. The Rain Man car was restored. They showed that on Chasing Classic Cars. Also born on this date today, Merle Haggard. All right, let's see what you got for history on me, brother. On this date in 1896 in sports, what happened in 1896?
Boxing. Somebody got knocked out.
Well, it might have been part of it. The rebirth of the modern Olympic Games held in Athens. 100 years later, we had it in Atlanta. Thus, Centennial Olympics, Centennial Olympic Park. On this date in 17, we go to World War I, and I found this one kind of interesting. 1934, Ford offers the option of white walls. White wall tires on a car, a set of four, Carl, cost you $11.25.
You ever had white walls, by the way? They do look cool.
I had only once, and that was not my car. I was just driving my Nana's car one time to the car wash. But, yeah, she had white walls on the Fleetwood Brougham d'Elegance.
Very nice. Coming up, top three at 6. We'll get you caught up on today's headlines. And what did Chris Mannix have to say about this selection of guys going to the Hall of Fame? You'll hear that as well at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.